You are listening to Live from Rye, ecological and local chit-chat from a rock sticking out of the Romney Marshes, with your hosts, Timberlina and Justina.
Live from Rye with me, Timberlina.
And Justina.
Yes. We're on an intermittent Zoom today. It's going to be very exciting. It feels like there are mysterious electrical forces going on. Maybe it's the humidity. How are you doing today, Justine?
I'm not feeling great today, but carry on as per usual. Carry on, keep going.
You're going to be a trooper. Okay, yes. Great. How are your morning lessons going on? I understand you're doing some morning meditations, is that right?
I've been following Deepak Chopra's 21-day course for abundance. It's abundance. And actually, it does mention sort of acquiring things and money and things, but you can take what you want from it.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely lovely. It's just about 15 or 20 minutes, and he takes you through a particular aspect that you're going to be looking at today, and then you do a little meditation, you have a mantra, and he's got such a lovely, calm, quiet voice, and he says, repeat the mantra, and I'll mind the time, and he rings the bell when it's finished. It's lovely. So, but my problem with it is I keep forgetting. I fully intend to do it, so there's gaps sometimes.
What day are you on?
I'm on day nine. There was a bit of a gap between day seven and eight, like several days, but anyway, it's good to do it any time, really.
Yes, I'm doing yoga every day, or with a video. I'm doing. Is yours on YouTube or is it a recording? Does it sound
recording?
Right. I do a yoga thing with. I'm obsessed with yoga with Adrienne. I think she's amazing, and she does these 30-day courses. And I'm doing sort of with a friend of mine. She's in France, so we're kind of pretending that we're there together. And I just do it first thing in the morning. And I have to say, it is a bit of a revelation. But I know what you mean. There's a pang of guilt when you miss a day because you feel like you should be doing it. But at the same time, the other thing that she always stresses is you're sort of doing it to your own rhythm. So, you know, it's sort of six of one, half dozen of the other. Have you thought about putting an alarm on?
I haven't. I've now started taking my phone to bed, not to look at it in bed, but so it's there first thing in the morning to remind me to do it first thing in the morning. So that's a good step.
Well, imagine if we could find some sort of natural remedy that would help us to remember things or maybe just spark our mind a bit. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had some sort of local expert who knew something that we might be able to pick from the hedgerow? And lo and behold, we have a wonderful, very special guest today, Georgina Wood, who's joining us also live from Rye. Good morning.
Life Rye. Hi, lovely to be here, Tim.
It's lovely to have you here. Now, Georgina does many, many things, one of which is also to happens to own the local and amazing Rye Health Food Store, which is a wonderful institution on the high street. But specifically, we invited you in here today to talk about herbalism.
Yes, something I've been interested in since I was a young girl growing up on the North Yorkshire Moors, going out with my mum and looking at plants. And then I think there were lots and lots of herb shops, and there was one in York where I grew up, Culpeppers, and I would spend my weekends going in there looking at the herbs. But it was only years and years later when my son became very ill when he was a baby, and they wanted to put him on drugs, and I thought there has to be a better way, and that kind of surged my interest in natural remedies. And then I went on to study at the College of Naturopathic Medicine and did a degree in herbal medicine. And that's really what drove and motivated me to take it up as a profession, because I saw that it, you know, it cured him of his epilepsy. And I wow. thought, you know, this is an amazing, amazing thing that is free as well to everyone, because everything grows around us. And I think that's what I'd like to talk about today, that we have plants that we pass every day in the hedgerows and the fields growing wild, and we don't realise the power and the healing potential that they hold for us all.
I think that's incredibly true. And also there is a great abundance of these plants, of these resources, which we just sort of frivolously ignore. I have a very limited knowledge of things to forage. I like to maybe think that I know more than I do. I get a huge sense of gratification and just joy, actually, of finding things which are free and then can be used. For me, it's sort of a common sense. So tell us, if we were perhaps out right now, where are we? We're now in June. What would we find outside
in
now?
June.
Yeah.
What we can find. And I know it's easy to go off track. I just wanted to pick up on what Justine said about doing the abundance meditation. And that actually we live, it's important to remember, we live in an abundant universe and everything is provided for us. And so that sort of ties in with the fact that we are provided with a whole, materia medica around us. And it's very seasonal. So we're talking, you know, now we're in June. So all the plants that we need seasonally appear. So, you know, in spring, we just passed spring, but all the tonics, all the spring tonics that work on detoxifying the system after a heavy winter of sort of rich food. People are more sluggish, there's a lot of congestion, catarrh in the body. So nature brings us things like nettle, cleavers. They're the first to appear after the winter. And so I'll talk a bit about cleavers, because that's still growing anywhere. People yeah. think of it as a weed, it's the sticky willow. And again, you know, nature gives us clues. So plants, they call it the doctrine of signatures. Plants look like the thing they're going to cure. So if you look at cleavers, it's a long stringy plant with little nodules. And that represents the lymphatic system. So it's very good for clearing the blood and all the lymph system. And again, you could just pick it, dry it and store it. So you have it throughout the year. Or you can pick it fresh and infuse it and have it as a tea. But that's very useful for clearing and detoxifying. And then now June is really the month of the elderflower. Mm. And it's an absolutely beautiful herb. And people just think of it to make cordials. But it's, again, you see it growing. It's like a fluffy, mucusy type plant. So that's basically its main action on the body, is to clear mucus. So people starting to get colds or congestion in the chest or hay fever with sinusitis, it clears nasal catarrh and sinusitis.
We had
and has a wonderful anti-inflammatory property.
We talked a lot about elderflowers actually in our last episode, didn't we, Justina?
We're
big fans of them, and we were basically sort of frivolously going through the recipes. But would you make a tea with them, as to sort of make them more medicinal rather than?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Georgina, what about elderberries? Are they useful later in the year? And how would you use them?
Yes, I mean, that's important because of its high antioxidant and antiviral properties. And it's been shown it has a compound which they call antiviron. And it basically envelops the virus so that you know, when you see a virus, it has lots of spikes. We've all seen it blown up on TV. So the elderberry, the compound in there literally covers it so that it can't, you know, penetrate the cells and then act as a host in the body. So it's a very clever thing.
And how would you use it? How would you take it then? The berries.
Well, traditionally, in fact, this they used to call it rob, R-O-B, in the Victorian ages. There would be street sellers, and they would sell it in the autumn, obviously when the berries were out there. And you make it as a syrup, so you could use honey or sugar or glycerine, and you just boil them and infuse them and add a type of sugar to make to preserve them, and a little bit, yes, of water, and then just make a syrup of it. An elixir basically is honey and alcohol, so you can make an elixir of it. So you make mix, maybe brandy is nice, or honey. And the nice thing is, if you pick them in the autumn and dry them, you can store them all year, and you could just take them out again and pour boiling water over them and have it as a hot infusion. But it is nice to make syrups. So if you don't want the alcohol, you can leave it out, but it's nice to make a little brandy and honey and then make a syrup, and then it will preserve for the whole year. And just taking a teaspoon a day is really fantastic preventative and immune boosting. Yeah,
that's good to know.
But we all have different conditions throughout the year, so coming into summer with the heat, we have more inflamed conditions, kind of rashes, inflammation of the skin, maybe people are more prone to kind of psoriasis, things like that. So all the plants that are growing are very cooling and anti-inflammatory. So that's, again, elderflower has those properties. And you can use it topically on skin. It's very good for irritations, so sunburn. Also, with hay fever, if you've got irritated eyes, you could make a compress or a tea, quite a strong decoction. And then either with clean sort of cotton or a little pad, and then put it on the eyes, and it will cool and calm irritated eyes, which again is very common this time of year.
Very much so. Well, that's really useful, actually. That really begins to mean something when you explain what to do and what it's for and how to do it. It's wonderful, actually. Yeah,
I'm also just really interested in what you said about the what the plant looks like or smells like, and how that sort of there's a tangible link between this. You know, there's something really sort of, what did you say? It was spongy. The elder flower is very spongy. It's very phlegmy, isn't it? This smell. I mean,
it's phlegmy. Yes.
Yeah. Which is odd. It's a very odd smell. So, and it's interesting that all of a sudden it's like, oh well, that has to do with, you know, the hay fever and mucus, and it's suppressing that, and then also the link with cleaver, which is, funnily enough, this is the first year I actually used cleaver, and I actually made a sort of a sauce with it and nettles. To be, I don't know, quite she, I suppose, in as a little juice on a plate of summer vegetables. But a very useful plant. And again, these things can be hung and dried.
Yes, and make sure, I think it's important, if you're going to dry herbs, never pick them in the morning, because they'll be sort of a little bit of dew and they'll be wet. So try and leave it till midday on a dry day, because you don't want any moisture on the plant, otherwise it will go mouldy.
Okay, so, that's interesting.
Pick it on a dry day and then hang it up.
That's interesting.
2 weeks would be enough.
And is there a point that sort of sometimes I read things, it's like with nettles, you should get the early nettles, the baby nettles, the sort of the fresh nettles also, and similarly with cleaver, because cleaver can get quite long and quite big. The stalks can be quite stringy and quite,
yes,
woody almost. Is there a better time to pick these herbs?
No, absolutely. We are kind of at we're in the summer, really, up to the edge of spring, early summer. So we have kind of missed it with the spring nettles. But this coming out now, which is a little bit later than the regular nettle, is the yellow dead nettle and the white dead nettle.
Right.
And they're not a true nettle. They're actually a different family, but they look exactly like a nettle. They have little white flowers. And if you go into the woods, they're quite rare, but there's quite a few growing near me, the yellow dead nettle.
Hmm.
And it's a very short plant. And that is probably, there's a very famous Austrian herbalist, and that's her favourite kidney tonic. So they're both good for the kidneys.
Dead nettle, that one's called.
I think yellow and white.
The yellow one is quite rare now. Used to see it a lot. And you see the white one quite a lot. But what about red dead nettle? Is that any use to anybody?
Yes, that I've never seen it, but I think it grows in Ireland in wilder regions. And again, that's very good for cleansing sort of uric acid. And so it's very good for gout and things like that, and kidneys.
So tell us where you went and studied. What was the name of the college that you went to?
Yeah, it's the College of Naturopathic Medicine.
And Naturopathic Medicine. And where is that?
It's in London. I studied in central London.
Right, amazing.
And they do quite a big college now. They do nutrition, acupuncture and herbal medicine.
Right.
But we all study as naturopaths, which is just healing nature.
Right.
This means you're healing nature. Yes, and then you do 3 years herbal medicine. And it was fantastic.
That's amazing. Now, something that had a little bit of a fad, and it's always been around, is cider with mother. It's a wonderful concoction of essentially fermented, sort of very naturally fermented apple juice. And I believe it's sort of the tannins and the natural yeasts which create the mother. And this can be used as a vessel for herbs, is that correct?
Yes, vinegar, again, is, it's antimicrobial. So anything that's going to inhibit the herbs degrading, it acts as a preservative, because that's sort of the traditional use, I guess. It's to preserve and pickle vegetables, but you could use it. We don't tend to use it that much in herbalism. We tend to use dried or powdered herbs or tinctures. But as a natural product itself, it is a medicine. And it has lots and lots of uses.
Very good for the digestive system, things like that. So you pick your herbs, and then what would you do? Bind the end in the pain with a bit of string, and then just in an airing cupboard, something as logical as that, or on a window?
Yes.
So anyway, you shouldn't keep them, or?
I would avoid, sunlight, really. If you've got an airing cupboard just above, somewhere dry where it's out of the way. As long as there's free air circulating around, you could put them on a tray if you haven't got room to hang them up. And then traditionally, especially in Ayurvedic medicine, they tend to use powders herbally. They don't really use tinctures. It's more in Western herbalism. But once they're dry, you could put them in a coffee grinder and powder them, and you could store them as a powder, and
That's a great idea. Is there any sort of great all-rounders that you totally recommend that are really simple to find and that would be something useful to just sort of have around?
have a round. Well, my all-time favourite is Hawthorne.
Right.
And we're just over the blossom, but yes, to pick the flowers, they say that whatever grows around you, we all need the most. And in a cranny countryside, we kind of have elders and hawthorn. Mm. They're probably the most common. And that's really, you know, heart. It's the heart herb. So anything to do with, and it oxygenates the blood. So I think given the current, viral outbreak, I think hawthorn is a fantastic herb. It oxygenates blood. It dilates your arteries, your vascular system. It strengthens it. It's very good for the entire cardiovascular system. So that would be my number one. So to pick the berries in the autumn and the flowers in the spring.
But not the leaves, presumably, the leaves.
Yes, you can pick flowers and leaves. Whenever I'm walking the dog, I just take the flowers and leaves and eat them as I go along. You can eat them.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And they taste quite, quite nice, really. Oh. Like, almost like avocados. Berries, you can eat them raw.
Justina, were you poised to say something?
I was going to ask you about the berries. We've kind of missed the flowers now, but what would the berries, would we dry them, and or would we use them raw, or
I would dry them, because they've got a stone, there isn't much flesh, but once you dry them, then you can make an infusion. Just take them out of the cupboard, the berries, and just make a decoction and drink hawthorn berry.
I put them in vodka last year.
Yes.
Now, presumably, you don't lose the goodness of the berries in the vodka. No.
No, in fact, that's something that I've made, and anyone can make a tincture of the hawthorn berries.
And that becomes a tincture. If I call it a tincture, that means that I can sort of enjoy the vodka more then, because it's more medicinal.
Absolutely.
The stones, yes, you're right. They do have very large and very hard stones. And I made the drastic error of trying to be super healthy by putting the berries into a smoothie. And of course, the stones didn't in any way, you know, become dissolved, and maybe took a bit of a tooth out, actually. But yes, so just be warned with the hawthorn berries. Definitely, and I think in a tincture is probably the best way to do that.
The in traditional use, farmers or people working on the land would just take them. They were called the bread and butter plant because they would just eat them as they went along, because it definitely energises and it's very good for the digestive system.
It's incredible. And there it is. It's all there, all around us, abundantly around us, and we frivolously ignore it on the whole.
Yes, on the whole, yes. I think it's nice that people are more aware of foraging is become
yes, quite a thing. I agree. And are you happy to sort of lend your herbalist knowledge to people who perhaps come by a health food store who might have a question or two?
Absolutely. I mean, that's my favourite thing, is talking about herbs. And if anyone has any questions, you know, I'll spend as much time as they have, you know, helping them and answering their questions and giving people confidence, because I think...
Yes.
There isn't enough, people don't put enough faith in the healing power of plants.
Absolutely.
They contain hundreds and hundreds of compounds which are very hard to replicate in the lab, and they all work synergistically together. So by isolating a property and recreating it into a pharmaceutical drug, whereas of course they have their place, but that also is they haven't got a buffer, whereas all the constituents in the plant all act together to create, you know, it's the sum of the parts rather than one.
it's very logical that what grows around us is what we need. We just need to trust and use it because it's right there. Amazing.
Right there. And another nice plant, which is not, it's out in midsummer, probably late July, is yarrow, and you'll see that everywhere. And yarrow is a cure-all. It's a very cooling, astringent herb. So again, you use your senses and you taste the leaves, they're very, very bitter. So anything bitter is cooling and astringent. So it's very good for stemming blood flow. So if you cut yourself, you can make a compress of yarrow and it will help. It's also good for females if they have heavy periods and a lot of bleeding. It can help regulate blood flow. But it's also, because it's so cooling, any fever. So if anyone has a high temperature or a fever, if you drink yarrow tea, it's a diaphoretic, so it takes heat out of the body. So again, you know, it's there at the right time of year when people have a lot of heat and inflammation in the body. It takes that out.
Fantastic. Well, what a wonderful selection that we have already. And I think that we've still got time to go out and get some elderflowers. There's still a few elderflowers. And if you're lucky, maybe a bit of hawthorn blossom. But I do think that is coming to an end now. And how beautiful it's been this year, may I add.
Yes.
And the cleavers and nettles, that's a wonderful thing to know. And I definitely feel more confident about using that. I think that once you break the... Do you know what I mean? Once you try it, I think that's the threshold for me with the cleaver, especially because, you know, the cleaver was that really annoying plant that sticks to you and is a bit like a weed, but just feels like it should be a nuisance. But in fact, it's a really useful plant. Similarly with nettles, we try to avoid them, but actually they're incredibly nutritious. Justina, do you have any last notes? We're coming to the end of our call.
Okay. Well, I think one of the reasons a majority of people don't like to use plants and things that are growing out there in the wild is because they fear it's going to be poisonous. Mm. And I think that puts a kind of block on using them at all. And I think there probably is not that much that's poisonous, but it's there if you want it. You can just look in your book or Google even.
Yes, exactly.
It's all there. It's amazing. It's just that we have everything we need, actually. That's the abundance you know we were talking about earlier, isn't it? It's just there. Mm. It's just a little bit of trust and information. And away we go.
Actually, I was going to say, do you know Jack in the Hedge? There's a lot of that around.
Oh, no, Jack in the Hedge.
What's yes, that? It's got a little white flower, tiny white or yellow flower, is it? Tiny white
yes,
flower.
Yes, white flowers.
Yeah.
And that is so tasty to put in salads. So
is it?
More than herbally, but to use, because it's so rich in chlorophyll and lots of nutrients, but it's got it tastes. Like a subtle garlic, but you can add that to salads.
I was going to say that when I was a bit younger, I got really interested in wildflowers and wild plants, and I used to collect them and press them, and then I'd look up them. And the whole amazing thing is that the Latin name, sometimes it describes what the plant looks like, and sometimes it describes what it's for. What it's for, like there's one called, I can't remember the Latin name, but it's the spotted leaves, apparently, are like a diseased lung. And it's the common name is lungwort, but even the Latin name is also related to it as well. And... I've always found that amazing, that all the knowledge that we need is right just there. Somebody's given it this, it's Linnaeus, I think, wasn't it, that named all the plants in Latin. And it's all there. It's incredible, really. And we just take it so for granted.
That's the thing. Yeah. We take these things for granted and spend a fortune on other kind of remedies when there's an abundance of it outside.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Georgina, are there any resources that might be useful for listeners who maybe want to find out more about these things? I mean, obviously, there are books on foraging and books on herbalism.
Herbalism, yes. David Hoffman, he writes some lovely books on herbs, and they have lovely illustrations. So people can, if they are afraid that plants are poisonous and not sure if they're picking the right one, they're well illustrated. I'm trying to remember the name. Oh, Holistic Herbal. That's a lovely starter book. Holistic Herbal by, David Hoffman.
Good place to start. And indeed, obviously, the internet is great and finding photos of things and then being able to relate to them. Georgina, thank you so much for your time, especially on a day off. And I'm sorry for the technical hiccup earlier, but we've resolved that. It's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much again. And we look forward, we'll see you on the high street, no doubt, very soon, in the health food store. Justina, always a pleasure. I hope you feel better very soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I might have to go out and gather one of these remedies and take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy the rest of the day. I think it's going to be quite a fine
one. Thank you.
So, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.